Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 16, reading the first two verses. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service." Heavenly Father, once again we call upon your name. I'm asking that you help me to preach what I believe you've given me, and also that you'd give understanding to those that are listening. The end result is that we would both understand the Word of God and see Jesus in a clearer light. And I'm careful to give you, as always, the credit, the glory, the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 says, "Blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me." These three chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And we understand that as he's speaking these words, he's just a couple of hours, probably, from being arrested and being taken and tried and crucified. If you look at chapter 13, we see the Passover, where Jesus holds the Last Supper. We see him washing the disciples' feet. And then we come into this three-chapter portion of Scripture, where he takes his time, right before he is crucified, to tell his disciples about the Holy Spirit. But this chapter, chapter 16, has an emphasis on the cross. He's still speaking about the Holy Spirit, but there's an emphasis on the cross of Calvary. He says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So he's linking the Holy Spirit and the coming thereof to the cross. And I believe that's a lesson that we should learn, that if we want God's presence, if we want his help to do his works, if we want his Spirit to be with us, then we should not be offended in the cross of Calvary. But he says in verse 2, "They shall put you out of the synagogues." They're going to throw you out of church. "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God a service." And we touched on this last time in the previous chapter. In verse 18 of chapter 15, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And he goes on to talk about suffering, and I've covered that extensively last time. But in this passage we're studying today, he talks about the disciples, his followers, what have you, all through the ages. Many of them have been martyred, killed, what have you, tortured. I've mentioned before the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can read that book and you can see through the ages that many have been beaten for their faith, tortured for their faith, dismembered for their faith, killed for their faith. And in verse 3, "These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Now this last phrase is interesting, and it supports the idea that I brought to you just a minute ago, that he waited until right before he was crucified to do an in-depth teaching about the Holy Spirit. Christ is going away, but he's going to send his Spirit to comfort us, to be with us, to be here with us in his stead. And in verse 5 he says, But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But now I go my way to him that sent me. He's going back to the Father. We know he came from the Father. He's going back. But the way that he's going back is the way of the cross. And we understand that we should follow Christ by taking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following him. That is God's way. Suffering, persecution, sacrifice, and death. Now I understand that most people will not be martyred for their faith. And again, you and I know very few people, or have even heard of very few people that have been martyred, and most of it is in foreign countries. But we also said that there's an inward death. Paul said, I die daily. He said, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, what have you. There's an inner death that we should be willing to endure. Now I want to say that again. God's way is the way of the cross. God's way is to deny self. Just as John the Baptist said, we should decrease so that Christ can increase. We're not to promote self, because truly self cannot help anyone. It's popular these days to nurture self and to improve self and to lean on willpower and what have you. You go to the bookstore and there are so many different books that seek to improve self, to strengthen self, to help you love yourself even. The Bible says that we love ourselves enough. But if we love God, we should forsake self, deny self. I'd like to pick up, if I may, on a theme that I brought forth last time. It's popular today to glorify self, as I said. It's popular today to be known for our abilities, for our accomplishments, to be known for who we are, to be known by who we associate with, what have you. In the book of Ephesians, and I've mentioned this before, and probably everyone knows this passage that I'm going to read. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11 and 12, And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's popular today to be an apostle. And if you can't be an apostle, it's almost as good, I suppose, to be a prophet. There's something called the New Apostolic Reformation, so-called. And they, unfortunately, will glorify themselves. They will build themselves up. They will tell you how much of a spiritual leader they are, how great they are, what have you. And if you look at this list, the beginning of this list, apostles first, then some prophets, and then some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers are at the bottom of the list. And there are many of those, unfortunately, that teach that if you're at the top of the list, then you're number one. If you're at the top of the list, or near the top of the list, then you're somehow better, or more spiritual, or have more authority than those on the bottom of the list. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshipping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these two, my sons, may sit, the one at thy right hand, and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it should be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. To be honest, this question came out of pride. Verse 24. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. The world's way says you have to be number one. You have to look out for number one. You have to somehow get ahead. You have to somehow be better than others, to be more important than others, to perhaps have people doing what you say, and then you've accomplished something, then you've achieved something. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, I want to be an apostle. Well, they don't let me in the apostle school. I want to be a prophet. I don't want to be just some teacher, some Sunday school teacher. That's not as good. I want people to know who I am. I want my name to be known. But it shall not be so among you. You see that list, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the pastor and teacher. It is in order. But the pyramid is upside down. If you want to be great, if you want to somehow rise in the ranks, if you will, then you need to be a servant. The apostles, if you read what happened to Paul, if you read what happened to Peter, if you read what happened to, I think there were something like 18 apostles, the core apostles, the initial ones. All but John, I believe, were martyred. When they get on TV and tell you that they're an apostle, or when they get on TV and tell you about the prophetic movement, everybody wants to be a prophet. They don't mention suffering. They don't mention being ridiculed. They don't mention perhaps going to another country on the missions field and ending up dying there a martyr's death. They don't ever mention that. But it shall not be so among you. If you want to be great, you need to be a servant. If you want to be chief, you need to find that servant and to be his slave. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Now, he's not a prophet. He's not an apostle. He's God come in the flesh. You can be an apostle all you want. You're still outranked. Jesus is Lord. He's King. He's God come in the flesh. The buck stops with him. But he didn't come to lead, necessarily. Didn't come to be chief, didn't come to be number one. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Going back to chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And we said that this chapter talks about the cross. Verse 5, but I go my way, the way of the cross, to him that sent me. We need to forsake self. We need to get away from pleasing self. Now, I'm not advocating self-denial. You see, your willpower cannot do the things that you need done. You can't be a better Christian through willpower. You can't quit smoking through willpower. Or you can try, and you may succeed, but most fail. But you cannot advance in the kingdom of God through willpower. The Bible does not teach self-denial. It teaches denial of self. Let him take up his cross and deny himself and follow after me. But I go my way to him that sent me. And we need to follow Jesus in the way of the cross, the way of suffering, the way of forsaking self, the way of forsaking our desires, our ambitions, our position, our reputation. Remember that Jesus made himself of no reputation. But what are they going to think about me? Well, who cares? If you follow Christ, you won't. The way of suffering, the way of the cross. Again, if you want a touch from God, if you want to be used in ministry, if it's teaching Sunday school, if it's witnessing in the French Quarter, if it's making mission trips to Mexico or something, or to be in the pulpit. One of the apostles said that if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. And the word bishop, the word pastor, the word elder, it's the same Greek word. There's no such thing in the Bible, at least, of a bishop being over or in charge of pastors. But he says it's a good thing to desire to be in the ministry, to be a deacon, whatever you wish. But we need to understand that the way to that goal is the way of the cross. Picking up there, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. He mentioned earlier, I believe in the previous chapter, he mentioned going away. He mentioned in the previous chapter that they would suffer, they would perhaps be killed. And he says it again here in verse 2 about them being killed. This is something that's well established. The disciples really didn't understand about the cross of Calvary. They had a little understanding, and certainly Christ would teach them here and there. He would draw them aside and say, look, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise on the third day, what have you. They did not understand it. You can look in the Passion. You can look that all the disciples fled. You can look at the resurrection. They found the empty tomb, but they really didn't believe it. They did not understand. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. They understood a little bit, but not really enough. They weren't quite sure what he was saying. And a few verses later, you will find out they're asking each other, what's he talking about? But verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now we know that Jesus is going to the cross to pay the penalty for sin, to satisfy God's wrath against sin, that our sin debt would be paid, Now, one of the benefits of the new birth is that we have the Comforter living with us, living in us. And as we yield to Him, He will empower us. But in this context, He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Again, the reason why He's dying is for our sins. But He's saying about the Comforter, about the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And again, the way of the cross. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And in verse 8, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. In verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He says that He's going away, but the Comforter will come in His place. And that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would reprove or rebuke or what have you, the world, of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And then He gives a little explanation of sin because they believe not on Me, what have you. The idea is that Christ, for 3.5 years, has been in the world. He's performed all these miracles, what have you. He's preached these wonderful sermons. But He's been a testament to the Word of God, a testament to the things of God. And He's reproved the world of sin. He's shown that there is true righteousness. And He's spoken about the devil and the end times and the judgment to come. But because He's leaving the world, the Holy Spirit taking His place, as we minister the gospel, as we teach the Word of God, what have you, He will help us. And He, working through us, will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You see, we cannot, through our own wisdom, not enticing words of man's wisdom, it says in one place. We cannot, through our wisdom, through our eloquence, through our impeccable doctrine perhaps, through perhaps the authority of our great denomination, or any of these things, we cannot touch the heart in our own power. We cannot convince of sin through our own power. We cannot save the lost through our own power. But the Holy Spirit will help us to do these things. And if we try to minister without the Holy Spirit, we will not have all that much success. But He says of sin, because they believe not on Me. And a reference you can use here is John chapter 3, verse 18. Everyone knows John 3:16, but 3:18 is important. It says, He that believeth on Him, speaking of Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, we stand condemned. We stand convicted. We stand judged. And left to ourselves, we will end up in hell when we die. We must be rescued. But I mentioned the sin debt that must be paid. And of course, Christ paid the ransom for that. Paid the ransom for our sins. But it says of sin because they believe not on Me. And the Holy Spirit will convict of sin in Christ's absence. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Again, Christ is not here. The Holy Spirit is doing these things in His place. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You can look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. It talks about hell being prepared for the devil and his angels. You can look perhaps in Isaiah and Ezekiel, when it talks about Satan and the Antichrist being judged. There is a judgment coming. the end of the world is coming. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts of such. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.